Hey everybody, Jake and Gino here, and today we're discussing how to refi and roll when rates go up, when your interest rates, when the money's costing more money. Gang, before we ever heard the term BRRR, B-R-R-R, buy, refi and roll and refinance, I don't even know what it stands for. Before we even heard that method, we called it refi and roll. That's what we knew. That was our internal kind of slogan for it. And in today's market, people are sitting on the sidelines. They're sitting on their hands. They're afraid to go in. Because, oh, I'm not going to be able to refi the deal if I buy it. Wait a minute. I don't necessarily believe that. It's not what we're doing in practice. So fortunately, we have our resident expert, the G-Daddy, here to break that down for us. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, Mr. Stenziano. I think BRRR stands for buy, rehab, refinance, repeat. Am I right? Or I'm just
to guess. It sounds good. I was going to say renovate somewhere in there, but
I think you're right. Rehab. I renovate. Okay. It's one of those marketing terms. And for people who've been in the business for 30 years plus, that's what they've been doing to create massive wealth. Because when you do refinance a property, it's typically basically a loan back to yourself. So you're not paying any taxes on that until you sell the property where you have to recapture it. And if you sell it, you do a 1031. The party keeps going. You're able to defer your taxes. So when you're talking about a refi and roll, it really is dependent upon the market cycle. When Jake and Gino, we started buying properties back in 2013, it was a lot easier. Rates were a little bit lower, but the market was escalating. And to have a successful refi and roll, you need to add at least 25% of value onto the property to be able to refi out all the money, all the proceeds that you have. That's the important thing. You know, if you buy it for $1 million, think of you have to have $1.25 million in value to be able to, you know, roll out your initial equity, money that you put into the property. That's the first thing you need to think of. I think the second thing you need to think of, if you're buying deals in this part of the market cycle right now, rates are higher. That's okay. If you're buying a deal on a pro forma that makes sense to you and you're buying it at a 7, 7.5, 6.5, whatever the rate is, today, rates eventually will come down. And when they do come down, you'll be able to refi at that lower interest rate. And if not, if you have to refi at the same, you've added a ton of equity and you need to extend the loan term and possibly get some more IO, that's the opportunity there as well. I think it's an amazing strategy. You just need to understand that you need to be able to create value on the property. Don't think you're going to go and buy a stable property, fix it up, and then, you know, refinance any extra proceeds out. I've done refi and rolls where I've used, you know, my own home equity line of credit on a property, went in, fixed the property up, put debt on it, and I was able to pay myself back. That's one way of doing it. But Jake, for us, we've been able to refinance over $30 million from our portfolio. And people always ask, well, how do you get the money for the next deal? It takes a couple of years. It takes a good 12 to 18 months to season these assets. Give yourself some time.
This is the get rich slow scheme, right? Jake, I don't think that's slow, but yeah.
And let me share this with you. I just had an interview yesterday on the Movers and Shakers podcast with a Bill Murray, Jake and Gino's student. He started in October of 2020, about 3 years ago. He's up to 48 units in New Hampshire. He's got 40 units. Those assets are about $100,000 a door he was buying. Now they're worth $150,000 a door. He's got between $1.5 million and $2 million of equity that he's crystallized. Thinking to himself, exactly, now's the time to do it. He may refi at a higher rate, but that's okay. So he can wait a little bit longer, wait for rates to drop. So it really comes down to your unique strategy. Do you need the capital right now? Do you need to access it right now? If you do, you may have to go at a higher rate. If not, possibly waiting a little bit longer. Having that equity continue to work for you, having that cash flow work for you, and look out a little bit longer.
I was at the Omni in Asheville a couple weeks ago, and they got this big fireplace in the Great Hall. And on it, it says, be good for something. Be good for something. Okay, think about it right now. Rates are high. I'm just going to sit on the sidelines and not do anything. Be good for something. What can you be useful doing right now to better your life, better the trajectory of your family? What we're doing is we're saying, okay, if we're buying a deal right now and we can break even on it and the rate is 7% with a credit union, just for say, okay, I'm breaking even on it. I'm then going to renovate it over the next year or two while these rates are still high. And guess what? Rates may still go up, may level out, may go up even higher. But if I'm on a credit union, I know the rate is going to be lower with agency. Right now it's about 5.5. We just locked for 533. So I'm being conservative. Okay, we just did three deals. We locked at 533. So you do a deal right now with a credit union, 7%. You renovate it. You get the rents up. You put some work into it over the next 2 years. There's a good chance that you, let's just say 5.5% with agency 2-3 years from now. There's going to be some money to pull out at that point, more than likely, if everything stays the same or goes up slightly, goes down slightly. If we're within, you know, a few percentage points where we are right now, you know, point percentage points, right? Point, yeah, not, you know, going from 7 to 9, you're going to build, you're going to make this work. And that's how we're looking at it right now. So I think the key is know where you are in the cycle. Make sure that you're buying something that's going to be able to produce some sort of cash flow on the rate that you're buying at, and then take the cream off when you're going to agency on the back end, because I think that's where you're creating value in this part of the market cycle.
Jake, there's something that you always say on most shows, and you say, this is what works for us. And there's that philosophical argument that people say, well, I just want to own these properties free and clear. I mean, read The Psychology of Money. That may be your psychology with money. There's no right or wrong answer. It's really what you feel comfortable with.
Well, if you own it free and clear, you're definitely going to be able to cash flow on it, so we don't got to worry about this.
But I know that when you're buying debt 5 years from now, the debt that you're paying 5 years from now is much cheaper. So I'd rather have, and I'm not talking about getting a 90% loan to value. I'm talking about being very responsible, maybe a 65%, 70% loan to value to be able to cash out. I think there's a balance there. I don't want to own my assets all free and clear. I'd rather use some of the assets that I have today to be able to leverage
those. There's an argument to be said they're more risky if you own them free and clear.
From an asset protection
standpoint.
Yeah. Absolutely. But it's also, when you have all that equity tied into a property, that equity is dead. It's not giving you a return on your investment. If you can repurpose that equity into another asset and to be able to create cash flow from that equity that was dead in that asset into the next asset, that's how the truly wealthy become truly wealthy. But you need to do it You have to be able to do it responsibly. You can't go out there and lever up. And that's what happens with the euphoria. People start over-leveraging and start over-leveraging the asset that's working really well. Then all of a sudden, they have no cash flow on that asset. They go buy another asset that's really over-levered. Now you have two assets that are over-levered that are not protecting, and you're praying in that part of the cycle that asset prices continue to escalate. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about buying an asset, stabilizing it, refinancing, pulling the equity out, crystallizing it, and moving into the next asset. This asset that you have that's refinanced is still producing a ton of cash. It is actually printing money every month for you, and you're using that equity from that property to buy the next property.
Yeah, and the only other thing I would say to caution is that inflation may continue to rage. If that happens, rents are going to continue to go up. Rates may continue to go up. We just don't know when it's going to stop, and I don't think we're out of the woods yet. So, gang, as always, we believe in buying deals for the long term. I'm Jake. He is the resident expert, the G-Daddy. We make it happen. We'll see you next time.